We're going to be reading in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. We called upon it this week. The Lord brought it to our mind. We weren't reading on it, and we got the Bible out and began to read on it. My prayer is that the Lord might use us tonight, that we might get a better understanding of who He is. It says in the 19th chapter, once again, of 1 Kings, the 9th verse, and it says, "And he came thither into a cave." This is talking about Elijah. We know he was fleeing from Jezebel and the king of Israel. "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to me, to him. And he said unto him, What dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces of the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave." We're going to stop right there. I want us to focus in on the fact that God had told him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. But where we find Elijah, after the strong wind and the earthquake and the fire, we find Elijah with his face wrapped in his mantle. And it says, and he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Sounds to me like that the fire, that the wind, the fire, the earthquake drove him back into the presence of that cave. And the thought that came to our mind this week is when we was thinking about that, that the Lord wasn't in the Bible says here, a great and strong wind. So strong that it rent the mountains, but the Lord was not in it. And then in the earthquake, that it shook the ground, but the Lord was not in it. And the fire. And I thought about that, and I thought about so many times in the passages throughout the Bible where the Lord was in those things. It come to us, to our mind about the Bible speaks about in Exodus. I can't remember which chapter it is. But the Bible says that there was a strong east wind, and it blew and it parted the Red Sea, and it blew all night and it dried the ground. And because of that strong east wind, the children of Israel was able to walk across and find safety, was able to walk across, mind you, on dry ground and not get mucked down in the mire. And I'm thankful that in that instance that the Lord was in that wind. And then I begin to think about an earthquake, and we know we can go to the New Testament as everyone prays. I'm thankful. I believe I heard it was Benjamin Randall said that he believed that there was healing in that pulpit sweat. And I need to feel a touch from God's hand this evening. And I pray that as we all get in one mind and one accord, that the Lord might be able to paint us a picture here tonight, that we'd be able to say glory to God, that He's in all of these things. Yet in this particular instance here, Elijah found him in that still small voice. We know that there was a time when Paul and Silas, the Bible said, was there, and they were preaching, and they had him a woman that was going around following after him. She was a woman. The Bible says that was possessed with a familiar spirit. And I know that I got a little annoying to Paul, and it turned around and he rebuked that familiar spirit, and it left her, the Bible said. But those men that made money off of this
beaten. They wanted it to hurt. They didn't want them clothes in the way. They wanted to cut the blood. And it says they rent their clothes and they beat them. And then they took them into the jailer. You know the story well. And it says, keep these sinner men safe. So the jailer took them to the inner workings of that jail. Because he'd been commanded to keep those prisoners safe. And the Bible says, come about midnight. Paul and Silas begin to sing hymns. But why was it that they were singing that night? Because the same still small boys that Elijah heard. But way back in that old cave, up in the wind, in the fire, in the earthquake gravy fire, that he was able to encumber. And that still small boys, he was the one that was speaking to Paul and Silas there as they began to sing. And the Bible says, well, there was an earthquake, a great mighty earthquake, come and shook the foundations of that jail. And the jailer, he woke up, and the Bible says that he was about to take his life. And old Paul said, it said he cried aloud, "Are not yourself, everything's all right." And the jailer began to listen, and Paul said, "We're all here." And the same one that took the hands, that put them all out of the chains around Paul and Silas's jail, over the hands that began to wash their wounds as Paul told him about his wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And all that earthquake woke up that old jailer, that still small boy, searching land, begin to speak to that jailer. Hello, Paul, cried with a loud voice, said, "Harm not yourself. We know that the still small glory to God. I spoke to that jailer. And the very hands that locked old Paul out were the hands that were washing his wounds. The very hands that no doubt were coated in blood as they put the jacket around his wrist. That was the same hands that baptized that jailer and all his house about themselves. Oh, why? Because of that still small voice. And then we can think about the bar. What power do you want to think about it in the Bible? There's many instances where the Lord has sent a bar down. But we can think once again about Elijah. And it says that he called them bar. Right. A bar that it was able to consume, the Bible says, the altar of the sacrifice and the water around the tree. But the Bible, as we was reading here, those are stories that are in the Bible, every one of them true. They can bring us joy to our heart. I don't believe that's what the Lord was speaking about. If it says here that the Lord took Elijah, as it were, up on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong that listen, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But it's talking about forces here. Aren't you glad though God weren't in the weren't in them? He was in control of them. I'm thankful today that there are things that happen in our world, in our life, in our world, that the Lord ain't in. I'm a glory to God. He's in control of them. I can't help but think about the fire. The Bible says the fiery burning, the burning fiery burning. cross. I let the three Hebrew children found themselves standing in front of. And what they say? And they said, "Oh, most righteous and holy King, no." And they said, "We're not afraid to answer you on this here subject." And they begin to tell him that they would not bow. Listen, the same God that's able to call fire down and to consume a sacrifice, it's the same God that can make the fires of this world and make them not able to harm his children, the children of Israel, the Hebrew children rather. They say, "My God is able to deliver, but if he won't, we still won't bow." Can you say that today? I'm thankful. I believe what it was speaking about here in 1 Kings, as we were reading, that was the fiery trials. 1 Peter speaks about the fiery trials of temptation. Well, God ain't in them, but glory to God, we still got that still small voice. I reckon when the king looked down in that fiery furnace, the Bible said, he asked, "How many did we cast in there? Were it not three? Behold, I see four men, and the one likened to the Son of God." Wonder what he said. Those three Hebrew children, that still small voice. Maybe that day, I reckon, it might have been a little louder to get over the roar of that furnace. But glory to God, they found it soothing to their soul. And I'm thankful that I serve the same God that still small voice has comforted me of many a time. There's not a one that's a Christian that ain't had the wind, the trials blow through his life. Sometimes there are them straight gale winds, as it were, as we hear about sometimes blowing them trees and thunderstorms. I've seen the trees, every one of them, would blow down all in the same direction. And they say that there was such a strong gale wind, straight force winds, I believe they call them, that blew so strong that it blew down the barn, or that it blew down the tree. I can remember seeing the tree, and I was wondering if a tornado come through there. But as it were, every tree fell down in the same direction, and by the damage, and the trees left standing, I surmised that it was a strong, a straight force wind that blew them their trees down. But you know what? That's the way it is with trials in our Christian life sometimes. It just blows down, and all we got to do is pick ourselves up. But then there's times where a whirlwind comes, as it were, and it seems to toss everything to and fro and scatter it abroad. But that's still a small voice. It's me, it's there if we but listen. I'm thankful for the strong wind. I'm thankful for the ground shuddering shake of the earthquake. I'm thankful for the fire that goes, as the Bible says, before the Lord. There are some that can't understand or believe or trust in God because of the evil in the world, because of what happened. But it is as it is it not. Justice is here that had come before the Lord. He took Elijah, the Bible says, up there on the mountain, and it said that that strong wind blew so hard that it rent a rock, and that it fell before the Lord. You know, there's wicked people still yet today. There are wicked forces that run from from the presence of God, and all that is left behind them is waste and destruction. But the Lord ain't in it. But I'm thankful in those particular instances He can use them to get us to listen, to drive us in the cave, as it were, to hear. Do you realize that sometimes that's what it takes to hear the whispering of the Lord? You be out on the windy hilltop and you might hear it, or the wind rustling in your ears, or when the ground shaking, you might hear it, for to hear the crashing of the trees, or the splintering of the house, as it were, whatever it might be, or that awful fire that consumes. I've been feeding cedar fires in the past. Cedar, you can't hear. I love the coffee with a popping and a crack in the wood. But aren't you glad that the Lord has a way sometimes? How to drive us in. Have you ever been in the cave? You can but whisper, and it seems as if it echoes. I'm thankful for those times that the Lord. The Lord sends all those things, and though He be not in them, though the wickedness of this world rejoices, as the old devil did when Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The devil rejoiced, and all of his demons in hell shouted and said, one of the 12 is mine. I've got one of the 12, and he's on my side, and I'm going to use him to destroy Jesus. But little did he know that these things came to pass. So like the Bible said, Jesus said it to the disciples, that I go away, but I'll come again. But then he began to tell them, except he go away, he couldn't see him. Oh, the comforter, that still small voice that speaks to me so many times, in the midst of the earthquake, in the midst of the strong gale wind, in the middle of the fiery trial that comes our way, I can't help but think of the one time I was but a teenager, and I was out in the woods, and I was, this has come to our mind so many times here in recent, but I can remember that little meadow out in the middle of the woods, like it were yesterday, and I've come down through the log trail in the woods, and I was praying to my Lord, although I was a stranger, as it were, although I drifted far away, but I thought that I might. I was truly looking for my Father, and I was fearful of what I might find, and I began to pray, and in the midst of that storm, bless your heart, I want to tell you, my world was shaking like it never shook before. I heard a still small voice. And glory to God, He can bring comfort in the middle of troubles. Sometimes He can bring reprimand in the middle of disobedience. And I'm thankful that the Lord moves in mighty ways. And He chooses still, yeah. It weren't in the earthquake, and it weren't in the fire, but it was in those moments following the storm. But it seems to be so quiet. So quiet. I've heard of people. Do you think about it? What do you reckon? If you read the story, if you read the story about Paul and Silas, they got beat up and got cast in jail. And the jailer washed their wounds, and I don't know where they went to be baptized, but I guess they was under a guard
they went them down there and took them to the creek and baptized him and his whole family because he believed in the name of Jesus Christ. But like I said, I don't believe it was the earthquake that made a believer out of him. I don't believe it was in the loud cry of Paul, though Paul in his loud cry no doubt spared the man's life. The man had took a sword and was about to take his life. And just like any God-called preacher today, they're going to cry loud and cry the warning of those that's on the road to hell. There's a lot of people today have got a sword in their hand about to take their life, though they might not realize it. I've met a lot of people, you tell them about the Lord, and they make a decision not to follow after the ways of righteousness. They decide that it's all but a fairy tale, and you see them further down in life. My wife was talking about it this week. She's seen some girls she went to school with, and she said, they look so lost. That the mother, as well as the daughter, looked like they just fell headlong out further in sin. That's the way it is with sin. It'll take you further than you ever want to go. It'll make you bitter than you'd ever want to think. It'll make you full of hatred to the point you can't stand yourself. But listen, that still small voice is crying out. But the world has filled itself with the racket of this world. But I'm thankful that it's still there. If men but listen, if men but just take time to crawl in a cave somewhere where they can get the racket of the earthquakes, the fire and the wind out from their ears and begin to listen to that still small voice, that one whose name is Jesus, the Christ, the one of Nazareth, the one that comes as a baby of Bethlehem, a small little town. But little did the people there, the inhabitants of Bethlehem, know that the Son of God was dwelling out there in that little stable, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. How many of them lived their life and never knew that right down the road from where they spent their entire days that the Son of God dwelled? How many people today spend their life and not know that the Son of God is dwelling in the hearts of men? That may be not too far right from where they're at in the midst of their troubles, in the midst of their trials. And so then, why was Paul and Silas there in that jail? If we read the story, we know that they were beat, that they were stripped of their cloak, beat, chained, and come next morning, they were, a messenger was sent to let them go, to release them. It seemed somewhat without a purpose to spend the night in jail after the beating they received. But Paul said, "Well, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen and you beat me publicly and you're going to send me away privately." So then once they found that out, they come. But why? Why under those circumstances did things come? I truly believe that Paul and Silas were sent that night to the jail, not as prisoners, but as messengers, as apostles, as ministers to this man. That was a man that didn't have reason to live. A man that was so quick to take his life because of what the world would have called worthless prisoners. Prisoners that were really worth nothing at all. Prisoners that were beaten. Prisoners that were cast in stocks. Prisoners that were cast in a jail. And though Paul and Silas weren't left there to be forgotten about,
now. No doubt how many prisoners were kept. But yeah, that jailer was there going to take his life over what the world would have called. A bunch of worthless prisoners escaping. That's the way the world is. They don't have no value on their life. They don't see what it is. They trade it for us. We know. We had a dream this week. And I don't know what it was. I don't know what brought it to our mind. But we woke up. And we just was there. I was heart broken. And I seen this woman. And she was a harlot. And because of drugs, she'd sell herself. They get them drugs. And for whatever reason, I was at a place. Living in an apartment. And never lived in one. Never will. But as the dream goes, I was coming in to the apartment. And I looked over and I knew her occupation. And her eyes met. And she was so empty. And I began to think about all that she'd done. And Lord, that she might find pleasure in this world. Just for one more fix. And I woke up. And I thought, my God, what's it gonna do to a person to make them be with a many a man in one night in the field and the disease? It's death. It's a sense of death, a woman living like that. And no doubt she was like that jailer. She counted her life as nothing. She was just living, trying to satisfy the beastly cravings that sin had brought upon her life. But surely at some point in her life, she'd heard that still small voice that the Bible speaks about in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. It's those that live their life all to themselves and never hear it. And the thoughts of that breaks our heart. What are we doing? We know that Elijah here, that he was feeling all alone. The Bible says that he was crying. Though the Lord had provided him with victuals that he ate upon and was able to go 40 days, I think it were, and 40 nights on that food and on that water. And he found himself there at the cave. We know that the Bible says here that Elijah felt that he was I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. We know that the Lord, after all of the after the wind and the earthquake and the fire, he asked Elijah again in that still small voice. He said, "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" And Elijah said it one more time. He says, "I've been very jealous." I think this is the third or fourth time he said it. He said, "Though I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." But the Lord began to tell Elijah. He's told him down there in the 18th, "Yet I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." You know, I thought, there he was, when the prophets of Baal, and there he was there, and he was praying, and he began to tell him to go get water, this and to go get that, and that one to go get this. But then he was a prophet all by himself there. But little did he know that there was some bread for the children of God. The Bible says 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal and not kissed that old filthy idol with the mouth. Aren't you glad? Though we might feel at home today, that the Lord has provided. The Lord has set upon his children. Glory to God.
They ain't bowed their knee to this wicked world and the lust of the flesh. They've set upon themselves not to mouth the devil and his children, but to look at the Lord. And the groom and us the bride, glory to God. And they're still out there today. I reckon maybe he's feeling a little bit like Elijah was. Maybe he's feeling all alone. And he said, "Those make a lot of offering." Here and he began to slay those oxen and burden the yokes. And he ran and he said, "Let me kiss my mama goodbye." I reckon he had reason to. She is a godly woman, were she not? She no doubt was one of the 7,000 as well. And because Elijah was able to hear that still small voice in the midst of turmoil, that he was able to find a companion. But the Bible teaches us to fill the shoes of Elijah. Let's get some song to sing. Maybe you've been trying to decipher what the Lord's trying to tell you in the midst of the wind and the earthquake and the fire, and what you ought to have been listening for was that still small voice. You know, there's a lot of mountain folk that are superstitious, maybe years ago, not so much now anymore, but they would try to decipher what was to be said. I know a man yet today that if he's on his way to work and a black cat crosses his path, he'll stop and turn around and go another way to work. Why? Because he calls that, as some of those folks do, a bad omen. Seeking, trying to figure out a sign, trying to figure out what's trying to be communicated to a person by tragedy, by sorrow, by omens, as it were. But the Lord would just still yet have us listen to His still small voice. Has it maybe been a while since you heard that still small voice? I know there was a point in my life that everything I tried was an attempt to drown it out. I remember dating a girl I never should have, and all that I'd done was all in the attempts to drown out that still small voice. But when the earthquake come and the whirlwind, I'm thankful that it left me with nothing, so that I was able to hear that still small voice. I can remember it well. It was a Sunday morning, and I felt like I was plumb broken too, that I'd been scattered out and come to church, and I heard that still small voice again. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that the peace that we can have if we but just listen to it. Love each and every one of you. Are you glad that the Lord communicates to us?
Yes.
Such calm and peaceful ways at times. Aren't you glad
He loves us so much that it's through the sufferings of His children that I was able to hear the gospel. You know, you think about it, old Paul and Silas took a beating for that jailer so that he might be able. He was busy watching over that jail. He couldn't be out in the streets, in the synagogue. He is a Gentile, no doubt, and he wouldn't have been caught in a synagogue anyways. But yet the Lord allowed, sent, whatever you'd want to call it, a beating. When Paul and Silas got their cloak ripped from them, I'm sure they thought, boy, this is going to hurt. Sure they thought that this might go further than I'd hope it to. Little did they know that before the sun would come up the next morning, they'd be rejoicing, getting out there in the chilly water. I wonder how much it stung the lashes maybe that were on their legs and on their back baptizing that jailer. I don't know, but I sure am glad that the Lord loved me as much as that jailer. I heard the gospel preached to me by my grandfather. And though I never seen take a blow with a fist, he was a man that took many a beating with a man's tongue, and people told lies about him and all. And it was through the sufferings of my grandfather and other Christians that were willing to take a beating that I can stand here today and proclaim the truth that's found in God's Word. And my desire is that I might have the courage as well, that in the midst of a beating, that come the midnight hour, that I'd be able to sing praises to the Lord like Paul and Silas did. I wonder what brought that earthquake about. If the Lord just turned them down there after all that took place and heard them, the children of the angels up in heaven began to hear that, and I had to join in, and I had to sing a little bit louder maybe, glory, glory, glory to the Lord God of hosts. And I don't know what actually might have been going through the minds of the other. Why don't you reckon? The other people in the jail. I'm in Mehron now. I think it might have had to do once again with what was being sung. And that still small voice that they didn't want to run from it. We find out this today in this world and years ago. I reckon when they heard the still small voice, people wanted to run to it. I've got a picture of my grandfather had a revival and the house is packed. The windows are open and heads are sticking in it. When the Holy Spirit began to move, people wanted to run to it. Oh, it seems as if today they want to run from it, a lot of them. But that's alright. Though it breaks our heart, I'm still glad that He sends it by. That it still passes by. Amen. I'd hate to think I'd be trying to serve the Lord in a dried up cold church. Trying to figure it out on my own. Maybe wondering what the Lord was trying to tell me. The gold's a crow sitting out in the tree in the front yard. But I'm thankful that He gave me His holy word. And He still yet speaks to each and every one of us today. If we but just listen. And by His stripes we are healed. And by the stripes of those that have gone before us, are we able to pass on this godly heritage that was given unto us by our brothers and sisters, shall we say, our fathers and mothers in the Lord. Love each and every one of you.